Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Good Saturday afternoon. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal, KGAB AM 650 on the right side and webtalkradio.net. We got a really full show for you today, folks. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on the front end. We're going to cover four things. First of all, welcome back, all you listeners and all you new listeners. I've been threatening for several weeks to have a new URL for archives for you. I think that's in the works for next week. And boy, you will like how easy it is to find stuff then. And I will also have for you the new AM stations we're going to be on. Hopefully some of you listeners on Web Talk. It'll be a terrestrial station near you. You can listen to me live or not, whatever you want. Anyway, today, here's what we're going to do. You know, I was concerned about Mitt, what he's saying, what he's not saying, what he's doing, what he's not doing. Now I'm getting downright panicked. And it's very frustrating. This is his election to lose. It's our country to lose. We're going to be spending some time on that toward the end of the show. It's going to be a lengthy segment because I don't know about you folks, but I've about had it with his lack of response, lack of attack, and, you know, the bullet points. I've been sending emails. Hopefully you folks have too. The last several shows, I've had the URL so you can send him an email. You know, we've been over healthcare, we've been over immigration, we've been over taxes. I mean, these are short bullet points. People will agree with these plans, they will remember them, and this whole boulder dash that he doesn't have a plan can be dispelled. Because I just don't think he has a personality for people to ever like him. I mean, obviously he hasn't displayed it yet, and with about 88 days or 87 days, whatever it is, left to the election, I don't think he has time to make people like him. So they better like his plans, and they can't like his plans unless he talks about them. And taking this verbal, lying, nasty assault from Obama the way he is, when he could be cleverly turning it around in three-dimensional chess, well, anyway, we'll go over that in the segment. Then we're going to talk about voter fraud, because, look, progressives are communists. Their Bible is Handbook for Radicals, amongst other books. The means justifies the end, as Saul Alinsky wrote in that book. They will steal these elections wherever they can, just like they stole Frank's election in Minnesota in 2010, which, by the way, resulted in the passage of health care. You know, one vote really does matter. They want to make sure that your vote doesn't matter and their votes do. Some of the things they have planned, not only for this election, but also, in the long term, will make your toes curl. I guarantee you. This is like a bloodless coup in the United States. That's exactly what's occurring right now. Then we're going to talk about, briefly, but there's some dots here that I don't think have all been put together for you. It's going to be a brief segment about what Obama's really doing. You know, he is pulling the wool over people's eyes again. And more importantly, and this will be a longer portion of the show, some of the leaks that are coming from various sources over what he has planned for the second term, which I absolutely guarantee you, although it will be no surprise to most of you, is not at all what he's saying. Just like what he said in 2008 is not at all what he had planned for the last terrible 4 years for this country, this Constitution, and this economy. All of which is intentional. And we're going to be talking about some things you need to do in terms of getting a little bit better prepared. I've done several shows over the last 2 years on this. Today I'm going to focus on food preparation, food storage, ensuring yourself a supply of food. You know, any disruption in transport, remember the executive orders where he can just step in and take over stuff? That was 3-4 shows ago. Think about what happens if that occurs. Think about what happens if there's a natural disaster. Think about what happens if there's a really horrific terror attack. And with the news just in the last 2 days that all of a sudden Iran is much closer to the nuclear bomb than Mr. Obama and his minions thought. I mean, does that really come as a surprise? These guys have known this all along. Barack Obama wants Iran to have the bomb because it's more fair. I know people are shaking their heads. I'm telling you, he wants them to have the bomb for a whole bunch of reasons. Now, Iran with nuclear arms is not a good thing for America. Not a good thing at all. If there's a horrific terror attack, everything's going to shut down. How are you going to eat? What are you going to do when you go down to the local Safeway or IGA or Albertsons or, you know, Kroger's or whatever have you, and the shelves are empty or the doors are locked? Trucks can't get in. You know, I know it's unthinkable, but it's plausible. And these are some things I'm going to share with you I have not shared with you before on how you can ensure at least the food safety of your family and yourself, because food will be a critical item if things go bad. And there's lots of ways right now they could go bad. Not trying to be alarmist, trying to be a realist. PPPPP, prior planning prevents poor performance, folks. Okay. And then, of course, we're going to have Mitt's Tips. Tips for Mitt. A wildly popular segment. I had no idea that this would be as popular as it is. I guess the thoughts I'm having, many of you are sharing too. We're going to spend a little time on that today because based on the recent poll numbers here in the past few days, based on the incredibly, incredibly clumsy or lack of response at all to what the Obama campaign is very cleverly doing, he really needs our help. He needs to hear from us. All right, let's get started. This first little segment is about voter fraud. And, you know, we have had many, many examples in the past. In Minnesota, Al Franken won his senator's seat by 350, 360 votes. It was hotly contested. They find out after the fact that 900 felons who can't vote voted in that election, and that 90% of them voted Democratic. In effect, just taking that one little segment of voter fraud, and I'm sure there was plenty of others, Al Franken lost that election by 350 votes. Remember that health care passed by 60 votes. That voter fraud, a lousy 300 votes, might have determined the course of this country. Think about that. Think about that if you are even contemplating not going to the ballot box and casting your vote in this upcoming election. Think about that before you say, I just don't have the time to call my friends in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Florida, New Mexico, whatever the swing states, Colorado, whatever the swing states happen to be. One vote matters. What the progressives want to do is make sure your vote doesn't matter and their multiple votes from illegal sources do matter. And they will stop at nothing to do that. Let me give you an example. There was a great show on Fox about 6-7 months ago. I mean, they really did a lot of research. And these new digital voting boxes, voting ballot boxes, are easily tampered with. I mean, any non-technological person, probably even me, which is really saying something, can go into the booth, close the curtain, insert a virus with a disk into this voting machine, and this voting machine will tabulate votes the way the perpetrator wants it to. Well, somewhere around 5-7% of all ballots cast in the United States are going to be on these digital machines. That's kind of scary, don't you think? 900 different jurisdictions, from small to large, are going to be doing digital voting in this upcoming election. What kind of safeguards are in place? You should check with your local election commission. You should see if they have digital voting in any of their polling places. And if they do, you should demand, and you should get other people to demand exactly. You want to know exactly what security measures they're taking to make sure that that voting box is not tampered with. You should raise holy hell, because it is really easy to tamper with. And this election, as we will get into in tips for Mitt, this is going to be squeaky close. It shouldn't be, but it's going to be squeaky close, because Republicans can't get out a message, and Mitt, I don't know what Mitt's doing. I think he'll be a pretty damn good president if he ever gets elected. But as a campaigner, the only one I've seen worse is John McCain, and he was terrible. One of the things that these folks do is they try and have people who don't have the right to vote, vote. I think you're all aware of that. You all know that, you know, Acorn was indicted in 14 different states for voter fraud. I think they've pled guilty in all of them. Acorn is alive and well, by the way. They just changed their name and fragmented. They're not gone. This is all nonsense. The defunding, you know, Barack and his boys got all around that. They're simply funding these fragments that don't have the name Acorn. Don't think that they're gone from the scene at all. They're quite alive, well, breathing, functioning, and planning. And what they're planning, you won't like. Okay, you've seen Eric Holder out there talking about how you don't need picture IDs to vote. It's such an imposition to have a picture ID. You need it for every aspect of your life, but you don't need it to vote. The most sacrosanct privilege and right that you have in a constitutional republic or a democracy. I mean, if all these things put together are not sounding alarm bells in your head, I don't know what will. And these people are not done with that. Okay, these people are looking big picture. What they want to do is they want to turn the Electoral College into a popular vote for president. In other words, no more Electoral College. The founders put in the Electoral College, which everybody, you know, the press likes to groan about. So the Electoral College is unpopular. The Electoral College is brilliant, because what it does, and particularly to the folks I'm speaking to on this show, we live in small states. I mean, Wyoming is tiny. Tiny. I believe it's the smallest population of any of the 50 states. Colorado is none too big. Montana is small in terms of population. For us to have weight in election, we need an electoral college. The 200 or so thousand votes in Wyoming, let's face it, they don't mean squat in a national popular vote. They don't mean anything, right? That's like 10 apartment buildings in New York. The Electoral College was put in place to make sure that the big states, the populated areas, didn't bully the rural areas. And the Electoral College needs to be maintained. Perhaps it could be tweaked a little bit, but I think at this point, with enemies of the Constitution in power throughout every branch of local, state, and federal government, the less we do with the Constitution, the better. Let me give you a little background on what's going on behind the scenes here, big picture. And I mean, I'm going to talk about how you need to keep your eyes focused on the ball that's coming up in 88 days, but you need to expand your mind and think bigger picture. Because remember, progressives like to nudge, right? Slowly but surely, over a long period of time, they change things so imperceptibly that you don't know until the change is complete and it's horrific. Okay, so we have, under the rubric of a national popular vote, right? They always have a warm fuzzy to cover the real intent. If that got passed, the 14 most populous American states, most of them majority Democratic, would determine the outcome of future presidential elections. The voters of the 36 less populous states, including just about everybody who's listening to me now, would be effectively disenfranchised. I mean, it doesn't matter how you vote. Just to give you an idea of the progressives in action here behind the scenes under the rocks, in 2007, Maryland was the first state to approve a national popular vote compact. So it's a theoretical winner-take-all contest. And Maryland would allocate all of its 10 electoral votes to the candidate who won the most votes nationally. Do you see how they're doing that? We're not really changing the Electoral College. We're just changing, we're nudging kind of how it works. Wow. So the people in Maryland, think about this. The people in Maryland could vote for candidate A if the national popular vote was for candidate B. Under this law, Maryland would cast its 10 electoral votes for candidate B, not the candidate who won the most votes in their state. I mean, do you see how insidious this plan is? By March of 2012, there are 8 states that have adopted the national popular vote into law, like Maryland, California, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Vermont, and Washington, and the District of Columbia. They're not really conservative strongholds, are they? Does it worry you a little bit that the only states that are voting this into law are states which are wildly liberal and democratic? If it doesn't worry you, it should. There's 2 other states, Colorado and Rhode Island. They've passed in both houses, but it hasn't been enacted. And 10 more states have passed it in one house. 10 others have passed it in a committee. 11 states have held hearings on it. 9 more states have introduced bills. You don't think that this is actually happening? You're damn right it's happening. Right under our noses. What can you do about this? You call your state legislator and you raise hell. No, 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 no. Don't introduce the bill. Don't vote for the bill. And make sure your colleagues don't either, or you won't have a job. That's how critical it is to us out here in the less populated areas of the country. Look, in the NPV plan, there's one really tough hurdle they have to pass, but as you can tell, they're making progress. And under the Compact of States, every state has to adopt this. In other words, just one or two states not adopting it can throw a monkey wrench in the entire wheel of progressive planning. Let's make sure that everybody who's listening to me here, that our states don't go this way. That will effectively, at least for now, I'm sure they'll figure out a way around it and try that under the radar. That will at least block it. Now, in the upcoming election, once again, contact your election commission and find out what the rules for voting are. And if they're not to your liking, don't be bashful. Maybe you want to be a poll watcher. Maybe you want to dedicate some time this coming election day to make sure that everybody who votes is legitimate and has the right to vote. You know, voting is a grassroots thing, folks. It doesn't work unless the grassroots is involved. So keep your eyes wide open on this, because this is going to be a big issue in this election. It's going to be ugly. I can't even imagine how much voter fraud there's going to be. And if you don't think this new immigration plan is not the harbinger of things to come, should this man be reelected, in terms of illegal aliens having the right to vote, or resident aliens getting the right to vote, to swell the Democratic ranks and votes, you are flat wrong. Okay. But their plan is to build an absolutely unflappable, unremovable majority composed of many different specific racial and ethnic groups, minority groups, immigration groups, and, of course, those huge groups that don't pay taxes, that get welfare, etc. Okay, they want to make sure they never lose, because they're all about winning. And I want you to understand something else. Real progressives, I'm not talking about people who lean left or who are liberal. That's a different ilk. But real progressives are only 20% plus or minus of this country. Okay. This would be like the Sunnis ruling the Shiites. This is not a good thing. We don't want a minority, a left-leaning communist minority, controlling this country. And that's exactly what they are doing, very cleverly, very insidiously, very progressively over time. Get involved. Get involved at the local level, because that's where voting takes place, and raise holy hell. Find out what's going on, make sure it's being done right, and keep your eyes open and make sure there's no slip-ups. Okay. The fate of this country is in your hands, folks. It's in your hands. Now, let's say Mr. Obama gets elected for a second term, heaven forbid. What might we expect? Well, let's look at his history. Okay. If you take a look at everything he's done and not done, he has had a checklist of 100 ways to hurt America. He has not only checked each box, he's checked every box 3 times. And every time he checks a box, or checks a box for the second time, or for the third time, you know what? It's a choice. It's intentional. Given the travails that this country has had, I want you to ask yourself a question. Would any other presidents have deliberately extended unemployment benefits for as long as possible, despite evidence that these extensions exacerbate unemployment? People just don't go out and look for work until they're near the end of the term of the unemployment. Would any other president, given our deficit, our fiscal crisis, be spending taxpayer monies to advertise to expand food stamps, which they've done nicely, from $7 billion to $74 billion a year, still expanding? Would any other president have done an end-around around Congress, that spineless Congress, and changed the welfare laws, which will dramatically expand the expenditures there? Would any other president, in fact, he's the only president in history, have run his entire term without a federal budget? You really need to ask yourself these questions. Because the bottom line, you know, would they have amassed, let me give you some other examples. Would they have amassed anti-business regulations at the most torrid pace in our entire history? Would they have set up a tax situation in January, with the combination of the taxes and Obamacare, which we've covered on this show in depth? It's still the only show I've ever heard that's done it. And the expiration of the Bush tax cuts? Huh? Would they? Would they have engaged in the systematic undermining of our domestic energy resources, stopped the Keystone Pipeline, stopped domestic production, which are not only job creators, but key to our security, key to our not sending our hard-earned dollars, which are really valuable right now, overseas, mostly to our enemies? Would they have imposed an Uber entitlement? I mean, it's an Uber entitlement, folks. That's what it is. Obamacare against the will of the American people? Would they have taken over whole industries? Now the guy is talking about he hasn't taken over enough. Did you hear his speech in the last few days? He wants, the car thing works so well. Oh, right, Barry. It just worked great. The car thing works so well that he wants to expand that program to all manufacturing in the United States. Listen, this is code for the government taking over all manufacturing in the United States, just as they took over General Motors. Listen up to what this man is really saying. Would any other president have allowed the national debt, with the absence of a budget, to grow by almost $6 trillion in 3.5 years? Obviously, no other president did, so we know the answer to that one. All right. Would any other president have been on the campaign trail rather than back at his desk trying to solve these problems? You know the answers to all this. No. And it's all a choice, folks. It's all a choice. So what are we looking at in the second term? Oh, my God, the second term. I don't even want to think about that. The second term from Barry. Well, based on leaks and a bunch of sources, which I've kind of been tracking for 2 or 3 months, here's just a couple of things that we might expect from Barry when he's unleashed in the second term. First of all, government-funded neighborhood-based programs to better integrate, you know, the newly amnestied immigrants, remember we were just talking about that, into society, including education and healthcare centers paid by what? Paid by the government. And who's the government? It's us. Remember, there's only one source of revenue for this government, us and our property. It'll be a federal solution, right? Sure, everything's a federal solution to ensure that amnestied immigrants are treated equitably, you know, fair, across the United States. I mean, what, these guys came here? I don't get it. Neither do you, but they do. They know exactly what they're doing. Plan on him recreating a 21st century version of FDR's Work Progress Administration. You know what a dismal failure that was? Most great economists credit FDR with extending the Depression for almost a decade with his nonsensical social tampering. By the way, did you know, just as an aside, I've gotten several emails over the past few weeks based on the show about the government taking aim at our 401ks and IRAs, that $8.9 trillion of our money that we've worked so hard to save. Yeah, that's a pretty tempting target for a broke government that wants to control your life and your retirement and your food and your water and even, it appears, what you think. Social Security originated with FDR. That's correct. Do you know what he modeled it on? I'm going to do a whole show on this sometime in the future so that you better understand Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, and the other big entitlements which are bankrupting us. He modeled it on a plan that was promoted by Chancellor Bismarck. Bismarck was a German chancellor of epic socialist proportions in the 1870s. That's right. Social Security is modeled on a German plan, a pre-Nazi plan, actually, because Hitler used Bismarck's foundation for many of his policies also. And the Battleship, you remember those of you who are old enough, do you remember that great movie, right, the Bismarck, or the sinking of the Bismarck? That's right, the great German battleship, the Bismarck, which was sunk by the English finally after terrorizing the North Atlantic in World War II, it was named after that very person. Okay, what else would he do? Wow, the list is endless. The guy would be unleashed. How about a national infrastructure bank? That's right. The federal government would fund a national infrastructure bank. It would all kind of go into his new Works Progress Administration program. And that entity would evaluate, a quote from the source, would evaluate and finance infrastructure projects of substantial regional and national importance, and would finance transportation infrastructure, housing. Remember Agenda 21, folks? Now they're going to be building your housing for you. Energy, telecommunications, drinking water, wastewater, and other infrastructures. Do you remember his executive orders? Is all this kind of tying in for you now? These guys know what they want to happen far out. And nudge by nudge, they put it in place now. Everything I just read to you about this infrastructure bank ties directly into the executive orders we've reviewed on this show. Everything I have talked about here in the last 5 minutes ties directly into previous actions by Obama and his communist minions to set the foundation for where they want to take us. You know, that fundamental transformation. You got to think big picture with these guys because they're thinking big picture. If you're sitting there playing checkers and they're sitting three-dimensional chess, you're going to get your butt kicked. Because these guys are good. They ain't stupid. They're brilliant. Okay, he would also take control of the military budget from Congress. You know how he'd do that? He'd put an independent panel in charge of military spending. You know, he kind of tried that a little bit with that Senate panel. You know, the sequestration that everybody's talking about. I think that was like a little test thing to see how it worked. Because once again, they're thinking long term. And one of his deals is he wants to weaken America, right? He needs to bring America down to the level which is fair and equitable with all the other countries on Earth. Redistribution isn't about just passing money between you, me, and people who don't work. Redistribution is about taking the wealth of America and redistributing it throughout the globe. That's what Agenda 21 in the UN is. He's also going to, now, trust me on this, you've already seen it happening. And one of the reasons that he hasn't spent 1 minute on sequestration, the reduction in arms, the reduction in our national defense, is that that's what he wants. Do you understand that? That's what this guy wants. That's what the Democrats, the progressives that were sitting on that panel that was supposed to cut a budget deal, that's why no budget deal was cut. This is what they want. This is their plan. It's their end goal. It's their goalpost. Okay, and our freedoms are the football. By the way, those reduced resources of the U.S. Armed Forces, okay, we're going to he'll use them to combat global warming, global poverty, remedy injustice, bolster the United Nations, step up peacekeeping. In other words, not only will he weaken the military and take that money, by the way, and spend it on social programs to buy more votes, to solidify that unremovable majority electorate we've been talking about, it will also spread them thin. Do you remember when, you don't have to remember when, go to Google, type in Barack Obama Civilian Security Defense Force, or National Civilian Security. You can listen to him right on his own video, folks. This was 2008. He wants to build a national security force, private, of course, answering directly to him, that will, and I almost quote, necessarily be as well-funded and equipped as the Army. Remember the brown shirts in Nazi Germany? The red shirts in Mussolini's Italy? How about the communist gangs in Russia and China? Think about it. Open your mind. Get out of the box. Don't get stuck in that normalcy bias. Nothing about what's going on right now is normal. Not a thing. And if you think it is, you're in for a rude surprise. By spreading the military thin, of course, the civilian security forces will have far more power. Right? The peacekeepers over there in Timbuktu, 5,000 miles away from our border, can't stand in the way of a civilian security defense force which is enforcing the executive orders and other goodies he's already signed or has planned. Okay, and listen, one of the things that you can absolutely count on is a whole new stimulus program oriented to green, rewarding his cronies, more crony capitalism, more waste of our money. I would bet you he'll found a green bank, right? He wants an infrastructure bank, now he's going to have a federally funded green bank where people can just go and dip their hands in the till of our pockets and do their alternative energy nonsense. You've heard the report now that he was actually briefed on Cylinder going bankrupt way in advance, yet still played the charade. Mainstream media isn't carrying it, but it's the truth. Mr. Romney isn't talking about it. Hey, Mitt, wake up. And if you think Obamacare is the last step in taking over your health, you're wrong. Obamacare lays the foundation, folks, for single-payer system. That's right. Absolutely, positively, without a doubt. You heard it here. You heard it here first. It's the absolute truth. Because as more and more people go on the government rolls, the private insurers who are part of the Obamacare plan are going to go bankrupt. They're done. And as they go bankrupt, there'll be a crisis. Remember? Orchestration of crisis. Never let a crisis go to waste. And the government will have to step in to save our health from those nasty insurance companies that are going bankrupt because of Obamacare. We're going to go in detail on that in a future show, too. because it's masterful the way they've set this up. It's also frightening. We're going to take a moment for a break from our sponsors, and then we're going to go, then I'm going to be back with more good news. Anyway, here is the good news. We can stop it.
Critics rave about the Threads West and American Saga series. Read Lance Rosenthal's number one bestseller, comparing it to Lonesome Dove, to Centennial, and even to Gone with the Wind. The Threads West series begins in 1855 and unfolds the riveting, sensual, adventure-filled tale of a country on the cusp of greatness. Fueled with passion, each thrilling adventure-packed novel follows lives woven into multi-generational tapestries of lust, duplicity, enmity, love, and triumph. Threads West and Maps of Fate, both number one bestsellers, are available at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, Amazon.com, and BarnesandNoble.com. Read the romance of the West, the story of America, her people, and her spirit. Go to ThreadsWestSeries.com. That's ThreadsWestSeries.com. Get them both today.
This is Reed Lance Rosenthal. Welcome back. We are talking from KGAB AM, 650 on your dial, Cheyenne, and the Town Square Affiliated Network, and WebTalkRadio.net. We've been talking about what Barry might do in his second term. Actually, I think it's what Barry will do in his second term. It's just the tip of the iceberg. I got a couple of emails in here in the last 5 or 10 minutes. I get emails during the show. It's authorsitereed@AOL.com. Please do contact me, either during the show or at any time, with any thought, criticism, you name it. I will try not to become shy and reticent in responding. Two of these emails are rather interesting. One... blast me for calling Barack Obama a Nazi, says I'm completely wrong on Social Security, yada, yada, yada. Number one, I didn't call him a Nazi. That might be too kind. for your information, Betty, down in North Aurora, I didn't even realize the station reached all the way down there. Let me give you some background. What I said was, Social Security originated with a concept from Bismarck, the famous German socialist chancellor in the 1870s. It was instituted by Hitler, and it was instituted by FDR. I don't believe I mentioned Barry in the same sentence. But to help you out a little bit, Hitler remarked in Mein Kampf, quote, "I studied Bismarck's socialist legislation in its intention, struggle, and success." Yeah, gee, you think that's where he got the Social Security idea? Oh, FDR, yeah, I'm quoting now from another article. FDR borrowed Bismarck's socialist agenda and created what is now known as the Social Security system. Bismarck said, quote, "The state must take the matter in hand, since the state can most easily supply the requisite funds. It must provide them not as aims, but in fulfillment of the workers' right to look to the state where their own good will achieve nothing more." I think the evidence is kind of incontrovertible. Okay, Social Security originated with Bismarck, the German chancellor in the 1870s. It was adopted by Hitler. It was adopted by FDR. We're saddled with it today. Them's the facts. I got a second email. And the second email actually ties into my completion of this brief, because we're going to do this in great detail as we get closer to the election, of what Barry might do, what Barry will probably do, when or if... God, I hope that wasn't Freudian. If he gets reelected. Let's make sure, folks, collectively, that that doesn't happen. One of the things, the last thing I'm going to talk about, if you will, is gun control. Now, for 8 years prior to Barry saying that he was against all guns in every vote that he ever took, in any position he ever held, and in his speeches and comments, he's been all for the Second Amendment. Well, guess what? Barry, kind of like gay marriage, has come out of the closet. Just in the last few days, the press was grilling Jay Carney, the White House spokesman, and Jay admitted, quote, he, that's Barry, does support renewing the assault weapons ban. Wow. So we are for gun control then, Barry, huh? Amazing. But this is more sinister, folks. Remembering the executive orders and all that kind of stuff, I have it on pretty good authority that he's actually weighing an executive order to try and implement some type of gun control in the wake of the UN treaty at least temporarily collapsing. I can absolutely guarantee you, bet the ranch on it. If he gets reelected, the UN Small Arms Treaty is going to be right back in our faces in weeks. They've worked too hard and long on this. It's the last ingredient they need. It's the last firewall other than state and local government standing between us and them. Don't kid yourself for one moment it's about safety. It has nothing to do with safety. Zero. The lowest crime rate in the world is Israel, where everybody is mandated to take firearms training and own a weapon. How do you get around that fact? The highest crime rate in the world is Britain, which has some of the highest or most strict gun laws on the planet. How do you get around that fact? You don't. Those are facts. But here's the ominous thing that Jay Carney said, and I quote, "The president's approach is that we should work with Congress where possible," I emphasize that, "and administratively where allowed," I emphasize that, "to advance common sense measures that enhance our security, that keep deadly weapons out of the hands of criminals and others who shouldn't have them." And then he said, "There has been reluctance by Congress to pass that renewal." Now, I don't know what that says to you, but it's a foreshadowing of an executive action against the Second Amendment coming your way, if not before the election, then right after it, if he's reelected. I flat guarantee you. Okay? This is a major goal of the globalists, the UN, and progressives. They don't want somebody armed, because that person could be a problem. And they don't want problems, not when 20% is ruling the 80%. All right, let's go on to the next thing here, shall we? This is all scary enough. The second email, which I want to respond to very quickly, because as always, we're beginning to run out of time. This person wanted to know where the... let me see if I can find this information. This person wanted to know some more on the electronic voting boxes. All right, let me answer your question there, John. SCYTL, all caps, that's an international company, right, not American, that recently purchased the leading U.S. electronic voting firm. Their name was SOE, capital SOE, Software. By the way, that includes a future plan that allows ballots to be cast using Google and Apple smartphones and tablet computers. Wow. Are we just creating the perfect stage for voter fraud, or are we not? Listen, there's only one way around this, okay? It's paper ballots, people counting them by hand, the old-fashioned way. Sometimes technology is not a good thing. It's too easily tampered with. I don't know about you, but I'm nervous about an international firm tabulating votes, collecting votes electronically that nobody can monitor, and then telling us what the results are. I don't like that at all. My basic rancher gut level instinct says, not good, big red flag. This is something else you want to talk to your election boards about. Keep them into paper ballots, folks, away from the electronic. It's a siren song. John had a second part to his email, and he wanted to know if the recent deal by Obama reducing the level of work, quote unquote, or redefining work to get welfare has anything to do with voting. Absolutely, John. You bet it does. Let me tie this all in together. First of all, you have a lawsuit in Massachusetts, okay? The lawsuit, this is a hotly contested Senate race between Warren, this is the gal who lied about her Indian heritage, and Scott Brown. And the governor's wife, he's an ardent Democrat progressive, she's in a big law firm. The law firm brought a lawsuit saying that welfare recipients weren't being informed properly that they could register to vote at the time they signed up for welfare. The settlement between the progressives, there was like no conservative at the table, was that 478,000 new welfare recipients, which ties into Obama relaxing welfare rules. You see how this all ties in, how they work in lockstep toward a bigger plan? Those 478,000 people are going to be mailed invitations to register to vote, not by the Secretary of State that runs the voting process, because they might throw them away, but by the welfare office. Now, most of these people are going to get these and think, gee, if I don't fill this out, I won't get my check. Or if I fill this out, I'll get a bigger check. Do you see what's going on here? Does it scare you, folks? It ought to. John, thank you for the questions. I appreciate it a bunch. Okay, let's keep going here. Obama's going to come after your guns in a second term, folks, if he doesn't do so beforehand, underhandedly, as he has been since 2009 with the UN treaty. Let's get into our food stuff. Okay, look, you need to be prepared for an emergency beforehand. This is, like, critically important. It's not going to do you any good to be scrambling around trying to feed your family when the system has melted down. I mean, think about it. I want you to learn about permaculture. Permaculture is a garden that's efficient, it's self-reliant, it needs very little input from you, it maximizes output, and it's kind of based on small-time natural ecology. Okay, container gardening. You know, even you folks that live in more dense urban areas, you don't have a yard, perhaps you live in an apartment. Hey, get some big old containers, put some plants in your apartment, and make sure that they're edible. You can grow all sorts of flowering plants, vegetables, you name it, right in the confines of your apartment. It could make a big, big difference. And then, you folks that are kind of in the suburbs, look, when you landscape your property, there's all sorts of edible plants that you can landscape with, which look great, kill two birds with one stone, do your landscaping, and protect yourself in the event of a food crisis. By the way, whatever is going to happen in the future with a crisis, and I think unfortunately we'll come out of it, but we're going to experience one from a bunch of nefarious sources, a bunch of nefarious catalysts. Okay, I want you to know every inch of land is a potential location to grow food, folks. Land, right? Land for love, money, and food. I should have changed the name of my book. You need to have your yard working for you. Plant a garden. For your landscape, plant edible shrubs. There's lots and lots and lots of great internet sites that you can get a handle on that for plants that will grow in your particular climatology. Okay, you can join a co-op. In other words, you can get out of the usual distribution channels, trucking, Monfort, big food suppliers, grocery store chains, etc. To give you an example of one, there's Community Supported Agriculture, a CSA, and Vegetable and Fruit CSA. There's Community Supported Fisheries, CSF. There's farmer-based clubs and buying clubs and co-ops. Okay, they're located all around the country. And what this is basically a farmer-to-consumer distribution. You cut out all the middlemen, all the things that will fail in the system. Check out what's going on near you. Get enrolled in their membership program. Start getting your food from local growers. You're supporting the local economy. You're also guaranteeing, well, not guaranteeing, but shall we say, greatly enhancing the chances of a supply of food that will come to you in the event of an emergency or crisis. Now, one of the things that you can also do, a rental thing. That's I don't kind of trust that because other people are involved, and I think the more direct the supply source, like from your land to your mouth, or from the land of a local producer directly to your mouth without a middleman, is best. Be thinking about these things. It'll save you money. You know, with the drought going on, you're going to see all sorts of increases in food prices, many of which have increased more than 100% since Barry took office. Don't think that's not on purpose, folks, through regulation and otherwise. One of the things you want to do is you want to go through all the food stores in your place. Get rid of the outdated stuff. Eat it up. Replace it with new stuff with a longer shelf life. Remember, you might not have the opportunity to do that in the future, and you're buying at a lesser cost now because food prices are absolutely, positively, without a doubt, going to rise. They're already rising right now. They're going to rise astronomically over the course of the winter. Food is a key ingredient to self-reliance. You do not want to be dependent on the government for your next dinner. You really don't want to be there. Okay, canned foods. Stock up on canned foods. Stock up on canned foods like vegetables that have high water content. One of the problems may be water supplies. Okay, everybody should have 50 gallons of water stockpiled in their garage. 20 of those 2.5 gallon deals you can buy at any grocery store for $2 or $2.50 each. Invest $50 in a water supply that will at least get you through a week. I know 50 gallons doesn't sound like a lot. No, you won't be taking long showers, but you'll have water. And water is a key ingredient to life, just like food, shelter, heat, and to a lesser extent, transportation is. All those things they want to control in the executive orders. Gee, must be a coincidence. Dried goods. Okay, canned goods has the water content. Dried foods will stay a very, very, very long time. Herbs and spices are dried goods. Pasta, rice, oatmeal, all these things will stay forever if they're properly containerized. You want to get some canned fruits. Okay, canned fruits, of course, are important for all sorts of dietetic reasons, vitamin reasons, mineral reasons, nutritional reasons. They will round out the other food stocks that you have. Rotate through your stores as expiration dates come near. In other words, if you go out in the next month or so and you spend a couple $100, it doesn't take a lot to put up a food storage for a month or two, folks, and you'll save money. Trust me, you will save money on this. Okay, write down what the expiration dates are of the food. Put it right in there with your food storage. And as things rotate out, some of those canned goods are only good for a year, 2 years, 3 years. Eat them up, replace them. And every time you go to the grocery store, I do this. Every time you go to the grocery store, you see a sale on soups. You see a sale on vegetables. Stock up with 3 or 4 cans. It's very important. It could be life or death for you and your family. It's that critical if things really got tough. Canned meats. Chicken, tuna, there's some others. Definitely get some of that. Okay, it's protein. It also gives you some variety in your diet should you have to be living off of canned and dried goods for a length of time. And I don't care whether it's a week because there's a hurricane or several months because there's a collapse, either in the financial system, the energy supplies, terror attack, you name it. Okay, I'm not going to go into all these details. I'm not going to go into details in this stuff. All you folks are smart. There's a wealth of sources out there. Get prepared. PPPPP, prior planning prevents poor performance. Get online, find out your various sources, find out your member co-ops. Start stocking up at the store right now. Make sure you have a month's supply of food. Make sure you have at least 50 gallons of water stored out in the garage. And you know what? You'll sleep better at night. Yes, you will. Our first goal is to be self-reliant and to survive. That's not only a goal for us and our family, it's a goal so that we can rebuild the country if it comes to that. Okay? It is a patriotic thing to do in addition to an essential, shall we say, life protection support system to put in place. All right, once again, we're down to the end of the show. I don't know where the time goes. We have very little time left. I'm going to start the Tips for Mitt segment first next week. It is so critical. I really want to spend 10 or 15 minutes on it. But for right now, Mitt, are you listening? Obama is blasting you. Harry Reid's blasting you on your tax returns. Hey, guy, get some cojones. Call a national press conference. Say, listen, I got a great idea. I think everything should be absolutely transparent. The president has said it a million times. I agree. How about Barry and I have a joint press conference? I'm going to bring my 9 years tax returns. He's going to bring all the stuff that everybody's been trying to see forever, like his school transcripts, his thesis, his financial aid, all that stuff. We're going to give it to the press at the same time, and the two of us are going to stand up there for the American people for an hour and answer questions. You think that might turn it around on Barry a little bit? You bet it would. It doesn't matter what Barry does. He loses on that one. Mitt, are you listening? That's it for today, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. Call that election commission. See what's going on in your voting precinct. It's important. Have a great Saturday. Have a great week.
For more information about Reed and his work, please click on the globe in front of you on the WebTalkRadio.net page. You can also click on the first two volumes of his number one best-selling historical Western series, Threads West, An American Saga, and the newly released second book, Maps of Fate. And on June 26th, the first volume of his new nonfiction book, Land, for Love and Money, will be available everywhere. Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archives on Reed's WebTalkRadio.net page, and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.